We don't have a special music today, so we're going to go on to our scripture reading. So if you will take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7. Psalm 28, 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Let's kneel as we pray this morning. Our Father, we know that you love us. We read that in your word. We see that in the love that you have given to us in Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we will reflect that love to those around us. Please forgive us when we don't. Change us through your Spirit to be more like you. We know that you're coming soon and we want to be ready. We pray for those that are not well today. We have many that are sick, and we pray that you will touch them and heal them. There are some that are absent because of other reasons. They may be discouraged. They may have other issues. They may be visiting. And Lord, we pray wherever they are and whatever their situation, that you will bless them. We pray this morning especially for Julia as she brings to us the message that she has, that it will be you speaking through her to each one of us. Now be with us as we worship you. We love you. Come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard my voice crying for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I was helped. My heart is rejoicing, and it continues to rejoice today. It's nice to see you all. We've been gone for a while. I'm here to tell you today of our story of 2021 and how God intervened in our lives. So a small amount of backstory if you have no idea who I am. My name is Julia. My husband is Josh. We live in White City. I have four children. They're age 25 to 18. So most of our daily work of raising our children is done, the daily grind. At best, at this age, you just become a trusted advisor, but you never really stop being at the ready if your child is in need. If domestic violence has touched your life, you know how helpless you feel when your spirit knows when something is wrong, but everything appears to be well. My daughter was in a terrible situation. I'm not going to discuss any of the specifics of her life there, aside from saying she is lucky to have survived what she was made to endure. I had a gut feeling, they call it, or female intuition, or I just know her very well, or my subconscious knew. I honestly don't know. The Lord told me. according to her, everything was well and normal. My prayer to God for quite a few years sounded like, okay, Lord, something's wrong, and she needs to be protected, and I want my daughter back. In December of 2019, before plague and all of this started, I started thinking about how I had no proof that I was essentially asking God to end a marriage and its vows, with zero evidence. And I began to feel bad about that. So I decided that I was going to change my prayer for the next year. It was going to take some acceptance on my part. So I was basically going to fake it till I make it on that. And so I said, okay, God, I don't get my daughter back in this life. She is happy where she is. Please bless their marriage and their sweet baby. And please bless him and help him to be an excellent partner and a father. And I decided that I was going to pray that every day of the upcoming 2021 and see what God did. It was a day or two later that I received a text from my daughter. He is leaving me. I was shocked. I asked if she was okay. She said they're both being agreeable. They were going to co-parent. They were going to move here. They were even keeping their New Year's Eve family plans that they had together. So this was number one of 13. The greatest answered prayer so far of my life is my oldest daughter and my granddaughter are now moving home to be in my life again. It had been a very long time. So that was about a week before the end of the year. And then on December 31st, around noon, I was at work, and my daughter called my phone, and I instantly know that something is wrong when a child calls my phone because this generation does not call if they can message. So the family day on New Year's Eve had been a lie. It was apparently a chance to say goodbye to Mom. And he attempted to take the baby and leave for the airport out of the country with all of her things. There had been an altercation, and the police had been instructed they had been instructed by police to calm down and to go back inside, and she had called me. This was the moment that I learned what I did not want to have confirmed. Everything that I had thought had been right, and it was actually far worse than I had feared. I had nothing. She's 6 hours away in California, and I just prayed. I just prayed for help on the phone. She said there was no way for her to get away with the baby, and into my mind came an image of him heading to the bathroom and her running away. It just popped into my head for whatever reason. And I asked, does he take the baby with him when he goes to the bathroom or when he's in the shower? And she was like, well, no. And I said, okay, the next time he goes, run. And she says, mothers, I want you to put yourself here real quick. She says, okay, Mom, I'll do it later. I'll call and tell you where I end up. I'll probably be in Santa Rosa or something. Hey, Mom, it's call waiting. It's actually him calling me back in, so I have to go. I love you. Bye. And I was like, wait, no. In my head, I'm calling my husband. I'm packing. I'm praying that she's safe. I'm calling in for a few days at work. I'm calling all of my family, especially her siblings. I have a lot of mental tabs open, lots of things going. Less than 10 minutes later, my phone rings again, and it's her again. Only this time, she is frantic. And answer prayer number two was call waiting when she was speaking to me was in fact him calling her saying, I need to use the restroom, come watch the baby. She said, Mom, I took it as a sign, so I grabbed everything and ran. She took off with the baby, a diaper bag, her purse, and her fuzzy slippers, running in the middle of the street. And while I'm trying to process that information on the phone, she starts screaming, he's shooting at us. I told her to find an open business or somewhere completely hidden, and that I was going to call for help, and that I would call her back and call 911 if she felt like she needed to. My uncle lived about 90 minutes away, and he had also always had a feeling that something was very wrong. He got off the phone with me and got in touch with his friend from church. And she gave him the phone number of a man named Don. Don and his wife are crisis counselors, a registered safe haven, and take in people fleeing from all kinds of abuse. Dawn is not supposed to be 10 minutes away from my daughter. Dawn's story was that he'd been called into town. He lived up in the mountains. He'd been called into town for some reason on his day off, and it ended up being for something, for nothing, frivolous. He said he was slightly irritated while he was driving home, and then he received a phone call. Meanwhile, my daughter is hiding behind a piece of cardboard, behind a dumpster, behind a church, listening for him coming and giving the baby snacks and bottles so she won't cry. Number three, from my daughter's call of "I'm running, Mom," to her being picked up by Dawn was a time lapse of under 13 minutes. God is good. I got the call, "I'm safe and hidden, and me and my husband are on our way." And by midnight, my husband and I are telling them both goodnight, sleeping in an RV made for housing the abused. Happy 2021, I got my daughter back. I was happy about that. While all the world was reeling from COVID, our house and our lives became about legally keeping them here and giving them a fresh start. She goes about trying to serve him with restraining orders and zero contact orders. He's completely unreachable. So it's a very long process. So many people were like, "Well, what if you tried this? Or did you think of this?" And we did every single thing that we could do. He got a lawyer, and he had a lot of means to fight, and we did not. But God is good in so many ways, and after 3 months of no forward movement, we finally had some. On March 27th, the baby's father and a woman he used broke into our home, and they beat up my daughter, and they bruised the baby, trying to get her. I know number four sounds terrible, and it was. My daughter was beaten and bitten, even, in an attempt to get her to let go. Those of you who saw our GoFundMe or our social media at the time saw some pictures that I put up at that time. But the Lord shielded my daughter that day the way she was shielding her child. He saw to it that my son just happened to be home from college that weekend. He was able to jump in and save both his sister and his niece. He got roughed up a bit, and all of our living room and kitchen furniture was rearranged. But all in all, there was guns involved, and it could have been a complete tragedy. Had he not been there, the Lord would have saved in another way. But he was, and he chose to jump in, and he's basically a hero forever now. Speaking of the Lord having saved my daughter in some other way, if he needed to, he did. Number five was and is a life lesson for me. There was another hero that day. There's this guy who hangs out at a druggie house in our neighborhood. He appears to be unstable or intoxicated or both. He talks to himself, and many times I've seen him, looks like he's fighting with the air. And I have said a quick prayer for him in the past, once or twice, but honestly, my heart is frightened by people who appear to be out of control, and I've never spoken to him. But he happened to be across the street that day and heard the screaming and also decided to spring into action. He jumped our fence, he entered our home, and he began fighting for us. Thank God. Later on, we were able to say thank you to him, and he was able to say, "You're welcome," but he was very altered. So I try and remember to pray for hero number two and for forgiveness for being scared of him and to speak to him. Well, the two of them left. When we pulled up at home, my husband escorted the two of them out of our home. And they did not have the baby when they left. Thank you. After that was chaos. They went into a shelter for quite a long time. And when they came out, it was security doors, wraparound cameras, tasers, mace, tutorials on how to watch if someone's following you. So this is how we lived for the next 7 months. Every thought to safety. I wanted to also recognize the blessing of my husband during this entire ordeal. In an emergency, you really find out what kind of a partner you have. And I want to honor him for being a rock and for being willing to turn his life upside down for his kids that he chose to help me with. I appreciate him. Then comes the worst news we received. Since we have not been able to get our restraining order or no contact paperwork served, a judge has granted him unsupervised visitation with his child. Every single weekend, my husband and I are chosen to deliver this sweet baby to him in Eureka. Every weekend. Part of the internet harassment my family endured at this time was him asking if we could take a picture of our daughter crying and send it to him. This is when we all admittedly spiraled a bit. But then, number six was a revelation that we received in the judge's orders that we hadn't seen before. There is no mediator between him and us in this process. Just us in person and him in person handing over the baby. Intervention number six, God maneuvered the orders to cause him to come out into the open to get her, giving us an opportunity to serve him and stop his visitations immediately after 10 months of expensive attempts. So it's a long and legally complicated process to try and protect a child and not violate a judge's court order. It came down to this. We have to allow him to have her, and then we can serve. So before we left, paperwork was filed in case he tried to leave with her. We had it written up with the lawyer. Eureka police are alerted. We put a GPS tag on the diaper bag. We did everything we could think of. We had a plan to keep me and my husband out of the service process. We brought along a great friend with us who was ready to help and to get this done. We will watch the hotel and the GPS tag by phone the entire time. So there we are, checking into our hotel, going over the papers, and we discover a plot twist. If the papers are served in the state of California, the person who is serving must have a California ID to make it legal. We are now four Oregonians and a baby in Eureka. We started talking about just paying a random person to do it. All of a sudden, my husband remembers that our other daughter had a friend in Eureka. A call to her, and we're in contact with the sweet, brave girl we'll call Shay, who is willing to help. I'm not going to use anybody's names because it's just not wise at this point. You see, Shay is an abused woman also who has been through court and the service process, and she knows personally how scary and frustrating it is to not be able to get things done. And she's willing to help. She happens to be in Eureka the day that we need her. She doesn't live there. Because of her previously arranged child visitation schedule, and today was the first day of that visit for her. She has a California ID and is willing to help and is in place in advance on the day that we need her because God is good. On a side note, we were all sitting in a couple of chairs in a mall food court discussing all of these things when the realization of God's hand and how he was orchestrating things kind of settled on everyone. And there was a moment of awe and then a moment of silence, and seeing the next generation have that kind of dawning moment was just, that was great for me. I loved that. Number eight is about the right person at the right time. So it's the day he has her. We've handed her over. We're serving him tonight. We're all doing everything that we can do to pass the time of that day in our own way. My daughter and her friend are in the fetal position on one bed with the phone, just checking GPS every 90 seconds. Just sick. My husband was on his phone trying to nap, and I was going to head to the jacuzzi. I sent out a message and I kind of hoped that someone would answer me. It was sent out to several people that I trusted. Later on, we were talking, and the conversation was not blessed at all. It was the weekend that a cyclone was getting ready to hit the coast in October. And honestly, we were joking or speaking about something bad happening to him. And I am not proud of that. The only reason I mention it is because number 9 happened and got us back on track, because Brother Ryan Day, who was evangelizing and singing his face off in the Midwest somewhere, messages, call me, and gives me his personal number. And he proceeds to deliver the exact prayer that I needed and that the room needed, with little information or context given to him at all. I believe he was led by the Holy Spirit to speak and to say what we needed to hear, words about sin and evil and where it originates, and that God loves all his children, including him, words of peace and faith and encouragement. And everyone in the room was like, wow, that guy can pray a prayer, man. Wow. When we were done, I was very grateful to Brother Ryan for taking the time to pray with us, and for many other things, but for taking the time to pray with us and to help us get back into a right spirit that we needed to be in for what we were doing. You can't ask the Lord for help and be in that kind of a spirit also. I'd like to be able to say that that, that was 100% fix for the entire situation, but the reality is that we're human and we're weak, and so number 9 is about control. I don't know how elevated or advanced you believe yourself to be, but it is an incredibly difficult thing to have someone within arm's reach of you that tortured your child. We had to speak. We had to not attack him with the strength of a mother bear. We had to, his foot touched mine. We had to hold ourselves back, and we had a large group of people praying for us during our encounter for calm and for a removal of anxiety, and it was received by both me and my husband moment by moment, miraculously, right when we needed it because of those prayers. And we felt it. We felt the peace, and when we were done, honestly, we kind of felt it go and kind of felt the anxiety come back a little bit. But when we needed it, we were calm and even able to speak in a respectful way when we needed to. That was a large one. And then number 10, the most relieved and happy moment of the entire experience was he gave the baby back. Thank God. In our arms, I immediately messaged several group chats. I shared God's help in that moment and the great news that we had received her back. Then we stood and watched as California Shay served all of the papers that we needed to stop all of his future visitations and gives my daughter all the custody and all the legal protection she needs for herself and this baby. Amen. Number 11, he is served. We all felt like dancing in the street, but we can't, because the bomb cyclone that came out of nowhere to the coast in October has just hit Eureka, and we need to get home. So we said a world of thank yous and goodbye to Shay, and we drove home on the treacherous 199 in a full downpour, zero visibility, falling branches, crazy traffic, debris, all of it. We had made it safely home, and we praise God for that, for number 12, for shielding us from that storm. Number 13 involves all of the people who helped, who donated money on multiple platforms, who I'm also here to honor, which allowed my daughter to get a lawyer, which changed the trajectory of the entire story. Also, I want to honor every single person who prayed for us. I believe that number 1 through 12 would not have been possible if no one had been praying for us in faith. I have just a few points I want to make at the end before I finish, some extra credit. All credit goes to God for orchestrating and for withholding. Point 1, if he had not broken into our home on that day, she would be sharing 50-50 joint custody right now. So let that rest in your head for a moment, like we had to. Having a lawyer tell us, sorry, but thank God he got desperate and broke in, because that's what gave you the victory. His act of trespassing was my daughter's legal custodial advantage. And even though we were violated and scared and on edge for months, God had turned it into a victory. Also, point 2, all of these months we were crying to God over our orders never getting served. So much pending paperwork held up, you saw us. Potlucks, just trying to be faithful, just waiting. But in God's perfect timing, every part of every case came together at once while custody was being decided. And he was shown in a truer light with everything coming together at once instead of here a little, there a little throughout the year. And all of my please help God, what's going on cries were being sent to a God who was patting me on the back and saying, it's okay, I got it, go to sleep now. Point 3, on the day that we got the worst news of mandatory visitation, my mother messaged me at work and says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I said, okay, how? And she said, well, frankly, I was praying and I was asking God for help because I'm like, what are you doing? This is terrible. I'm not seeing you anywhere. What's going on? So I just said, God, what's happening? And then I finished my prayer, I put my phone down, and then my phone buzzed, and it was my Bible text a day app, and it was Romans 3:4. And Romans 3:4 says, God is truth, and everyone lies, but as it is written, you will be shown justified and will overcome in court at judgment. It was instantaneous. That was awesome. And then lastly, I just want to mention two men in the Bible. The shielding has been a big imagery for me through this whole thing. God loves us all, but there are certain relationships in history that stand out. And through this whole ordeal, the image of Jesus being a shield for me has really just been constant. Moses was a shield also. He shielded God's people many times, advocating, like Jesus does for us, at the sake of his own eternal life, and mediating with a creator God for these folks. And they were and are close. And Moses is one of two biblical writers that call God their friend, a shield. The second man is David, a soldier, musician, king, the definitive character of faith and action. Throughout his songs, he calls his friend God a shield. Now, both men knew that they needed God to physically shield them in battle, the way a shield is referenced throughout the rest of the Bible and the world. But David knew that he needed his friend to shield him in another way. David begged God to shield him from the everlasting punishment for his weaknesses. So both men, referring to the Jesus who they knew personally as a physical shield, he is a shield. Well, he's not metallic. He doesn't have symbols of allegiance. He's a living God and a physical being shielding David and Moses and you and I with his body, with himself. I am thankful to God that this story has been what it is. I got my daughter back. And the family of people like the Petitos, they didn't. I'm thankful to be quoting Moses and David and not Job. If you are not being treated the way that you should be, and you're being hurt by people who say that they love you or that they own you, please tell someone. Please get away. Call 911 or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Our local police have been and continue to be a complete asset and blessing to our family and our community, and we'd like to recognize their help throughout all this year as well. Praise God for all that he has done. I hope that you are encouraged, and if you'd bow your heads with me, we'll say a prayer. Father God, thank you for protecting my family. I appreciate your shielding and your intervention. Please be with all of us during this week. And please help us to notice your hand and your work in our daily lives so that we can feel encouraged and carry that joy with us. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.